It's an emergency meeting of Brightside After Dark. It's July 4th, but basketball shit's still happening, so we have to be here. I'm Brian Giverman, here with Scott Howard and Streaker. Guys, how are you enjoying? You drinking? It's July 4th. You got booze going?
I've got a nice hangover going. So I'll probably start after the podcast, because I really wanted to do this with as clear a mind as possible. And I've thought about it a lot, you guys. And I know that Giverman saying there's like basketball shit going on, and I gave this a lot of thought, took a night on it. I think it would be a good thing if LeBron James came to the Phoenix Suns. I don't know.
You know,
I know it's a hot take.
Exactly. I'm all about the hot takes, so that's a little out there for me. But I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. I think the only way we can find out is if LeBron comes to Phoenix. I don't know. I mean, I'm 50-50 on it. He's either like the worst person ever or best basketball player in the world, depending on which side of the coin you're looking at. But
I think that's the only way to test it.
Yeah, so, I mean, LeBron, why not? Why not? Try it out.
You both seemed really pumped that the Phoenix Suns could potentially get LeBron James.
Yes.
I mean, any time you have, like, you're even, like, roughly entering the conversation where a four-time MVP is even, like, entertaining the idea of coming to your team, I'm going to tell stupid jokes about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been trying to ignore it for, like, you know, ever since they just said they were going to try to meet with him. But, like, yesterday, you know, I got a little too excited. I know the chances are a little low still, to say the least, but it's just the fact that they're even in this conversation. Let's just think about it this way. This July 4th, talking about LeBron potentially coming to Phoenix is so much better than 2 years ago on July 4th when Steve Nash went to the Lakers on this exact day. So it's a better 4th of July for Suns fans.
It's funny that you bring that up, because right before this podcast, I was thinking the same thing about how 2 years ago, I was at a friend's house on the 4th of July and saw Gambo break on Twitter that the Suns were going to trade Steve Nash to the Lakers, and my fun just died right there. I basically spent the entire night on Brightside just trolling. Do you guys want to read my first comment? I have it pulled up. My first comment on the thread about Steve Nash leaving for the Lakers. Here we go. I hope Steve spends 3 very injury-prone and unproductive years in L.A. Check. I don't want to wish that. I don't want to even think it. It's just disgusting. I won't cheer the guy another day for the rest of his life. When they put him in the Ring of Honor, I'll boo. He chose to be a Laker, and to me, that's an unforgivable sin. Particularly since a week ago he was talking about how old school he was. This is mortifying. That is the first thing that I said on that side about Steve Nash leaving for the Lakers 2 years ago.
You probably owe him an apology.
I do not. He has spent 3 unproductive. He spent 2 unproductive years in L.A.
And he's also going to get you a lottery pick next year. And he got you Archie Goodwin. So you owe him a thank you.
I don't owe him anything.
Yeah, you do.
How dare
you? Yes, you do.
It's not like he spent 7 great years of basketball playing in Phoenix. Forgotten.
See, what I like about this is now that Suns fans get to experience what I did in 2010. It's fantastic. Yeah. LeBron James is coming to you. You think it's going to happen. Nope, it doesn't. And it sucks.
And then you gave Amar'e Stoudemire $100 million contract. Is that what you're saying here?
Well, we can finish off the process. Once you miss out on LeBron and you guys have all this extra cap space, we'll send Amar'e your way, and you can go through the same exact experience I did, except without the extra 4 years added on.
Sure, we can just have the 1 year of a corpsey Amar'e dragging his ass up and down the court. Sounds pretty fun.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
No, back to LeBron. What was it? Let's see. The report said the Suns were one of 4 teams that talked to his agent. It originally said Sarver went to Cleveland to talk to his agent, I think Wednesday. And then I think I read somewhere, I think on Waj's piece that, or somewhere, I think Dave covered it, but that McDonough was also there. So, which is good, thank God.
Good.
Yeah, and Babby. But no, just the fact that they were one of 4 teams to even talk to the agent about LeBron. And then I think Waj said there's going to be 3 finalist teams meeting with him next week. I don't know how true that's going to be, but we'll see. But even that they're in the conversation, even if they're the outlier there, I mean, I think that's fantastic.
It's meaningful.
As far as I'm concerned, I think it's a done deal. I think LeBron's going to Phoenix. I saw this yesterday when I was drunk. I was playing beer pong with friends with one of my, with a friend who's actually a Miami Heat fan. So it was pretty funny. And
like can I stop you for a second? Like a real Miami Heat fan?
No, he's been a Miami Heat fan for several years. Yes.
Okay.
Did he root for Bimbo Coles?
Glenn Rice? Yes. Tim Hardaway?
He's my age, so maybe not that.
Okay, so he doesn't have a Ronnie Sykley jersey.
Shout out to Phil.
What up, Phil?
Anyway, so we're playing, and I said if I make this last cup, LeBron's coming to Phoenix, and I did. So as far as I'm concerned, it's done. And my sources, which were a red solo cup and a ping pong ball, told me that LeBron James is coming to Phoenix, so it's done.
Sounds done to me.
So I guess we don't have to continue the podcast. We're done, huh?
Yep. Yeah. I had fun. Talk to you guys later. See you never.
Go get your number 6 LeBron James jersey.
Well, actually, you know what's funny? Okay,
I thought the podcast was over.
No, it's back on. The podcast is back. So I briefly was allowing myself to think about this yesterday, and I got so far down the line of craziness that I started to think, I'm like, you know, is Walter Davis's number actually retired, or is it just in the Ring of Honor? Because Walter Davis, for the youths on the listening to the podcast, wore the number 6 for the Phoenix Suns. And I was like, well, I guess you can go back to 23. This is the stuff I was thinking yesterday. Again, I've gone insane.
We should just give LeBron a Photoshop jersey of Jeremy Lin.
Agreed. Yeah. Just send everyone a Photoshop Melo and Jeremy Lin's jersey. Yep. Just everyone.
And then Jeremy Lin will send God to strike down upon you.
Can you imagine if LeBron came to Phoenix for a meeting? He's like outside U.S. Airways Center, and they just flash a big Carmelo Anthony in a Houston Rockets jersey right there in front of U.S. Airways Center. How great would that be? They're like, hey, look at this. It would make no sense. I would laugh, but it would make no sense.
Be productive.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, sad. No, but I mean, there's enough traction on this for me to get a tiny bit excited. I think Streaky said yesterday it was like, you know, we've gone from like 3% to like 13% possibility, and that's enough for me just to get crazy and think about his number.
Right. And someone, I think it was Sam Amick, or whatever, however you pronounce his last name, he tweeted that like we're kind of like the Clippers in 2010, where even being in the conversation of talking to LeBron, you're coming out in a positive light. And for, you know, a team that was as, and I keep going back to this, we signed, our one free agent last summer was Deontay Christmas. The fact that we're even talking to LeBron James this summer is just, it's crazy after 1 year.
All right, I have two angles off of this. I want to start with,
go for it.
I really think he's leaving the Heat. The Mike Miller amnesty and how the relationship and how that might have impacted the relationship between him and ownership there when he took their word they were going to do everything they could to build championship-level rosters, and then they go and do that after he took less money, showing what they were actually about, I think is a real thing. Other people have thrown that theory out there, but I think it really is logical and it makes a lot of sense. And I do think he's going to take the max, and I think there's a political level to this with what's going on with the owners and now. And LeBron, unlike Jordan and some other big-name players in sports across the league, he is very involved, whether it be the Trayvon Martin thing or getting involved with Donald Sterling. He hasn't been afraid to throw his weight around in controversial and political situations. And I think he is someone who, for the good of the league, will go, I'm not taking less money like Duncan and Dirk. What I want to do is I want to show a precedent that the best players in this league should get paid. So I'm going to take as much as I can.
I think he feels responsible to take the max for the rest of the league, like you're saying. I think that's the prime takeaway point there.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think LeBron's always been that. I mean, he's intimated for, I think, his whole career, what his goals are and, like, what he wants to be. And I think that obviously he deserves more than the max. Like, he deserves as much as,
sure.
And most of his earnings. All of the money, yes. Literally all of our money, everything. LeBron should just rob us.
He can have my savings account if he wants it.
People have already offered up my life, so I mean.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Can we step back from any of Gibby's real basketball points to talk about sacrificing your life for LeBron James.
Okay, why not?
So, Srinker yesterday, I think, was on Twitter, and he said something to the effect of, LeBron James comes to Phoenix, he can play until he's 75, but I won't see it because I'll be dead by 25, correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what happened. And then it just, like, started a firestorm of people wishing you dead.
Yeah. Yep, that's Twitter.
They were going to straight up Hunger Games your ass, just for the...
You made a hashtag out of it, too, I mean, and they were starting to make puns out of my death. I guess it's somewhat flattering, but not. Fuck it. I think it's been decided, and it's too far. If LeBron, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, LeBron. You're one of our. Well, if you're listening, LeBron, Scott Howard will send you some fantastic drawings. But yeah, I'll offer up anything. Like I think we agreed. It's a contractual obligation. I have to sacrifice myself if you sign in Phoenix.
I just like the idea that LeBron is sitting in the meeting and he's talking to Robert Sarver and they're hammering out the last points and he goes, you know what? And I want Srinker dead. It's like that. And honestly, I'm not leaving without that. And then Robert Sarver calls you up and he's like, Srinker, we need you.
And he's dead.
Sorry, I totally got us off track. I think, Gibby, you had a second point.
No. So I think we're on the right path. So you're such a big Suns fan that for the good of the people and everyone else who gets to see the Suns, that you would truly sacrifice yourself. I mean, that's a noble thing to do.
I really shouldn't be saying this with my own voice on a recorded podcast, but yeah.
Okay, now we can move to my other point.
I can talk about this all day.
Can we do Suns rosterbation now? Yeah, I think we're going to do Suns rosterbation.
LeBron James rosterbation?
Yeah, with including LeBron James. I don't think it makes sense to have Bosch, LeBron, Dragic, and Bledsoe. I think you only need three. And then you keep the depth to the rest of the roster, instead of putting him into the similar situation and making the same mistake he did in Miami.
Okay, let's just kind of back it up a minute. So if they keep Dragic and they keep Bledsoe, let's say they get James and Bosch, what do they have to clear? What would the roster even look like at that point? Let's say without getting rid of Dragic.
I didn't do the exact math, but that... To make that happen after next, when you have to sign Dragic, that's $70 million. I mean, $60 to $70 million. So you're clearing out basically the entire roster, and then using picks and bird rights from who you have, whoever's left over that they choose to keep this year, and then exceptions and minimum salary players. So I think it kind of makes more sense to. You let one of the big money guys go and just have the three guys you pay, and then you build a more well-rounded roster so you're not going to war with the Spurs again with only three players.
At least you'd have three younger players. You wouldn't have Dwayne Wade's corpse. Dragic and Bledsoe are under 30.
No, but you could have Dragic's two bum ankles and Bledsoe on one knee.
Such a fun killer. Why do you hate fun so much? Cameron's like, yeah, if they get LeBron James, they'll probably get knocked out in five games in the first round against Memphis. Good God. You're like, just because you have to go to work on the 4th of July doesn't mean you have to be an asshole about it.
And I'm dead.
Okay. All right, if they keep those four guys, Green's gone, Fry's obviously gone. Keith is probably gone. Even if he's not, they probably can't keep him next year.
The rookies, probably gone.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of them. They have the two guys from last year and the two from this year.
Plumlee Len is probably here. You probably keep one of the centers.
Yeah, Plumlee and Len are probably going to stay because they're both really...
No, you get one. You don't get both.
Why?
Because you have to clear like 17 million in space to be able to get LeBron and Bosh.
Okay, Plumlee is making under 2 million.
Yeah, they're both rookie contracts.
Len's a little bit more. I should open up Len's things like this. Yeah, but all, but you because all, none of these guys are making anything, so you got to do a bunch of them to make it add up.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm thinking about a bigger cop. Like Green and Keefe are probably higher on the higher end there.
I'll do the thing that you're supposed to do before the podcast and look things up.
No, this is called on the spot, organic, fun times that we're having right now.
You don't script anything on Brightside After Dark.
Scripting. This is After Dark.
Besides what we talk about, we're going to talk about before the podcast starts.
Well, I just want everyone to know at this point that we had kind of a false start at the beginning of this podcast because Gibby just went on an odd, kind of offensive rant about I don't even know what.
That America's really not that great and we do a bunch of stupid things at a country. I'm not going to go back into it. I'm good.
Stop, you bastard.
I'm leaving it off there. Look, I mean, Green's making 3.5. Len's making 3.6. Mark Keefe's making 2.9. Marcus is making 2.9. Plumlee's making 1. Archie's making 1. You basically have to take them all to add up to what you need to open up the room for 2.
Ugh. No, because you, I mean, not necessarily, because you you renounce Fry, obviously.
You renounce Fry, and you're renouncing Tucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, that right there is renouncing Fry and Tucker. Renouncing Tucker's nothing. It's $1 million. Renouncing Fry's almost 10. Mm-hmm. So right there, though, renouncing those two, and Bledsoe, so you're at 35, you're at 40, you're basically at 41 million with all your contracts and Bledsoe. The Bledsoe cap hold. You have to figure in the Bledsoe cap hold.
Which isn't that much. It's like under 7, right?
It's 6. That's what I'm saying. So the Suns have, 28. My bad. It's 28 without options. My fault. Clearing out 6. So you're at 30, you're basically at 35 million. Okay. With all those guys.
Right. So you have to clear about 12 million. Yeah.
So you got to get rid of, you can keep like 2 of them maybe? You can pick 2?
Yeah, you have to clear, 12 million, so you just start down the line. All right, again, Green, Keith, Len.
There's more on that because we have at least 2 of the draft picks too. Don't they have cap holds also? I'm pretty sure they're cap holds.
Yeah, they do.
So there's more money on that too. So they actually need to clear more.
The point is, all right, so you trade away, they have to clear about 12 to 15 million to be able to sign LeBron and another max to Bosh and then sign Bledsoe after that. Again, it's doable, but I think you were right when you said you have to trade away most of those guys. And I think Len, you probably do have to trade away, even though it's a second year. But he is making more compared to, Markeith and Marcus and those guys. So, yeah. Anyway, the point is, we're going too far down this road, but the point is, it's worth it. I think you'd do it.
Why not trade Dragic and keep the depth? You have a point guard. You have Bledsoe and LeBron to be your main, ball handlers. So you don't need someone like Dragic to have the ball in his hands as much. You could find,
but he's proven he can play off the ball well.
Yeah, but it just makes more sense financially and to keep the roster depth, and then you don't have to worry about re-signing him. It gives you future flexibility when you have LeBron James on your team to go sign someone else that would maybe fit in more generically with the team. That makes more sense.
I mean, I think you entertain the possibility of trade. I don't think you look to trade him just to, I don't think you need to necessarily look to trade Dragic just for the reasons of building depth. I think there's enough in terms of flexibility, in terms, they still have a bunch of picks. They still have, obviously, where LeBron goes, veterans on minimum contracts will follow. I think that's
been true. Ray Allen on there. If LeBron goes,
Ray Allen, what about last offseason? They got Michael Beasley and Greg Oden.
Yeah, well, that's because the Heat didn't they screwed up, I guess. I mean, they didn't find anyone like they did the 2 years before that. Obviously, there was no Ray Allen to sign. And hey, I mean, Ray Allen's already hitched his wagon to LeBron. So, I mean, I think
very publicly.
Very publicly, like, yeah.
I would go play wherever LeBron James plays.
Yeah, so you get Ray Allen, exactly. But so you're getting Ray Allen on the cheap also, but you're going to have to pay something. You're going to use some sort of exception. He's not coming for the vet minimum.
They'll have the exception.
Yeah.
Not the mid-level, but I think the biannual one. The 3.5 million one.
So, but I mean, if your core four is going to be Bledsoe, Bosch, Dragic, LeBron, I mean, that's your team.
It's basically that's a really, really fucking good.
It is. It is really, really
can
good.
We stop,
but
can we
but,
stop that for a minute?
No. It's awesome, and the four of them would be fucking unbelievable together. It'd be the best starting lineup in the NBA. I am not doubting that.
Bar none.
But
the best starting lineup in the NBA, bar none.
But okay, is it Oklahoma City's basically putting out something there that is really similar to that? Yes, what they were throwing out against the Spurs, I'd say, is really similar when they were playing in that series with Ibaka, Russ, when Perkins wasn't on the court because they were being stupid. But Ibaka, Russ, Jackson, Durant, and a fifth and a decent center. That's pretty freaking similar. That's pretty similar to what you're throwing out there with the four with the Suns.
With an ISO bullshit offense.
Their offense was better than it was. The Suns write an ISO bullshit simple offense too.
They have LeBron fucking James.
Did what happened when he was in Dallas? When they played against Dallas with a more ISO heavy, not as complex offense, they struggled and they lost. All I'm saying is, I don't think it's unreasonable to think, and I think it might be smart to go with the three big money guys, and especially if you make it Bledsoe, who's somewhat reasonable because it's the second year contract, instead of going and doubling Dragic's contract, maybe you get more picks back that you can use to trade and that cap space that you would have, only having those three, renouncing the guys next summer. It give you flexibility to take another player into that or outright sign someone plus make trades. I think it makes a real lot of sense to move Dragic and play and have Bledsoe, Bosch, and Bledsoe as your top three.
Counterpoint, you just flat out hate Goran Dragic.
No, I think Dragic is awesome. I know I'm always trying to trade him. Because
you are
I think
always trying to trade Goran Dragic. Why do you hate Goran Dragic's like calm family life in Phoenix so much? What did he do to you?
He wouldn't answer my question one time,
exactly.
So I have to get rid of him.
Got to the root of the problem. Ryan Giberman, trying to ship Goran Dragic out of town.
No, in all, Dragic is one of the nicest players I've ever had to deal with, and I just think there's something to being smart and trading someone at their peak value, and right now, trading someone when he's making this contract and then giving that team his bird rights is, I think, the most you could ever get for him, and I don't think it makes logical sense to sink so much money into four players. I'd rather have a more well-built full roster than just having four players making massive amounts of money.
And I totally understand the point. I understand exactly what you're saying. It just gets me back to my, you're just a fun-killing bastard.
Someone has to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be you. No. We knew it was going to be.
We got King Dave out there putting out sheets that say the Suns can have all four and massive amounts of cap space in 2015. Like, what? Boss, come on.
I mean, I think they can have flexibility in 2015 with all of their assets and whatnot, but... And I'm like, the thing is, they're not. No one's going to be untradeable on these. Like, I don't think Bledsoe or Dragic would be untradeable, even with bigger contracts that they will likely receive this year and next. I think that's a fair point. You do have to entertain the idea of trading Dragic because, right, his value is high. The problem there is that it's hard to trade someone like him because he's way more valuable to the Suns on the contract he's right now than to any other team. I get that, like, the bird rights will be handy to another team that would receive him, but he's still going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. So, what kind of team would trade for him? Like, I don't know if a rebuilding team would trade for Dragic on a 1-year rental. I don't know how he would fit into a team that's already good and is one piece away or something that would need him. I'm just curious as to what kind of team would trade for Goran Dragic. Obviously, the Pacers. This is a good lead-in, I guess. The Pacers were
smooth lead-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is. You're the professional talker here, obviously, Sreekar. The Pacers stuff is separate from LeBron. In this scenario, I don't think LeBron is here if we're going down the Pacers road. It's Paul George or nothing to me. That's it.
Yeah,
we're going down the Pacers road, and we immediately ran into a dead end when Paul George wasn't an option.
Yeah, and like it shouldn't be for the Pacers. There's no way the Pacers should trade Paul George.
He's 24 and he's a two-time third-team All-NBA player.
I mean, he's great, but there's also no one else on that roster that the Suns should even think about trading Goran Dragic for.
Agreed.
I kind of think...
Don't say Roy Hibbert.
No. I kind of think, in a vacuum, the Pacers, the Dragic, Bledsoe, also, if you include a sign-and-trade for Tucker, give a first-round pick... You give them the flexibility to be able to re-sign Lance Stephenson. On some levels, I actually do think it makes a real lot of sense because you can keep the defense at the level it was, move George Hill to your first guard off the bench, make Dragic your starting point guard, improve their offense immensely. It really does kind of make sense, but they have George locked up, as Scott said. He's 24, and it doesn't logically... It's a tough sell unless something behind the scenes is going on there.
Teams don't trade 24-year-old stars very often.
Yeah, you don't. And again, Dragic has 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how
they'd have money to play with, though, depending how the Stephenson and all that stuff. And I know Hibbert expires pretty soon as I go to another salary page that they might be able to play with. And keep Hibbert's... Yeah, I mean, Hibbert is... Has a... What's green mean? He has a player option. Hibbert and West have player options for 15-16. West is one of those guys you could see opting out and taking less for the good of the team. And without their player options, they only have about $26 million. That's including Paul George. They'd have plenty of money to spend... to bring back Dragic if they made a move like that.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? What do you guys want to talk about next? Apparently, Steve Novak got traded to the Jazz. That's exciting stuff. Real breaking news here from Woj.
Oh, my God. Live reaction.
Yeah, wow. Your thoughts? No, I'm just kidding.
Great. He was a great Nick.
Yeah, he was a great Nick.
He was.
I was really hoping... that a big story was going to break during this podcast, like Carmelo Anthony re-signing or signing, so I would freak out.
I just gave you a big story. Steve Novak got traded to the Jazz.
Could you imagine if LeBron signed during this podcast? LeBron said he was going to sign with Phoenix during this podcast, and I would have to...
And then we'd have to sacrifice you live on the podcast.
Sacrifice Streaker. And then we would just like be playing his head like the Ewoks did at the end of Return of the Jedi, like on the Stormtroopers. That's what it would be like. It would just be a big fucking party. I would never stop partying. LeBron James came to the Suns.
I unfortunately would have to, I guess. But
no, you wouldn't.
Because I'd be dead. But
no, but I went Star Wars analogy. So in this thing, if you like come back ghost style, and you're like kind of watching over us in a robe, you're kind of looking on knowingly, shaking your head, smiling.
Right. Once LeBron signs and I'm gone, I have but one request. Look after Bogdan for me.
Bogdan's on my shit list. And I'll tell you why Bogdan's on my shit list. Because you asked Bogdan to wish me a happy birthday.
Dude, we
on
are
the
perfecting
last
the beat-ins today. Anyway, continue.
We are getting so much better at this. And so you asked Bogdan to wish me a happy birthday, and he didn't. Honestly, considering that my birthday was... not even a month ago. I'm offended. I mean, the greatest superstar in Phoenix Suns history couldn't take time out of his busy schedule to wish someone a happy birthday 4 weeks after their birthday happened. I'm offended.
You know, I don't know if he understood my tweet.
Maybe
he was lost in translation somewhere. I don't know.
Mad at you, Bogdan.
Stop making excuses for him.
I can't stay mad at him. Just look at that smile.
I should have asked him Serbian. I screwed up. But Bogdan Bogdanovich, someday you will wish Scott Howard a happy birthday. It won't be on his birthday, but someday you will.
No, it will certainly not be on my birthday.
But
I want to make sure that nobody actually wishes me a happy birthday on my birthday. I want to be wished a happy birthday every other day of the year. So 364, except for my actual birthday.
Just get ignored on your real birthday. Yes.
I have a friend who, on Facebook, like, somebody wished him they were wishing him happy birthday. You know how a bunch of people just, like, wish happy birthdays, yada, 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 even when you don't know the person? And so he just went out of his way just to start trolling people. He's like, oh, thanks, we haven't talked in years, but you're wishing me a happy birthday. And so he was just a total dick about it. And so then one woman, who he wasn't even really friends with, decided that she was going to wish him a happy birthday every single day for an entire year, and she did it. It was my favorite thing. She went onto his Facebook page every single day to wish him a happy birthday. So that was a good time.
Wow.
Fun random.
Maybe that's what we have to, the opposite of that is what we have to do with Bogdan. Just ask him every single day, hey, today's Scott's birthday. Hey, today's also Scott's birthday. Can you please wish him? He's been waiting his whole life.
We're breaking you down, Bogdan.
Which brings us to the next happy birthday person we're going for Scott Howard. It's Cole Aldridge's turn.
Yes,
it is. Wish me a happy birthday.
I will reach out to Cole Aldridge and get him to wish you a happy birthday. I think I'm feeling good about Cole Aldridge. Gibby's always feeling good about Cole Aldridge.
He's Cole Aldridge. How could you not?
Yeah.
He dreams about Cole Aldridge.
Yes. Oh, that's you want to trade Dragic to sign Cole Aldridge. That's what you want to do. You bastard.
Damn it, you guys caught me. What the hell?
You thought you could slide that by us, but we're too clever.
Yes.
Now I got it. How am I supposed to get my plan to Ryan McDonough now that you guys broke it out? I was going to use...
Oh, you know he listens.
I was going to use a pseudonym to get it to him.
McDonough's ready to listen to this thing right when it goes up. He's just probably sitting there at his house. And he's like, God, I can't wait for Brightside After Dark to go up.
Yeah, he's not even doing any free agency negotiating. He's literally, he's not doing his job. Ever since this podcast came out, he's just like, fuck my job. I don't care. I'm just going to listen to people talk about the Suns.
Who needs LeBron James? I'm going to let Sarver handle that. He's got it under control. When Sarver's ran free agency by himself, he's nailed it in the past. So we're just going to let him roll with that.
Over again.
You heard it here first. Brightside After Dark, where Ryan McDonough gets all his ideas.
Yes.
So speaking of ideas, what are you giving away if people make it to this point?
Well, first let's recap. So I did the crayon drawing offer on the last thing. Last thing, because this is what that is to me. It's a thing. This podcast is a thing. And I ended up sending 14 different crayon pictures to people. 14! And it wasn't just, like, people in Arizona. I sent crayon pictures to Oregon, Virginia, Texas, Maryland, California, and Northern Ireland.
International!
Yeah, we went all sorts of international.
We are fucking famous.
Well, obviously. So that was fun. So I drew 14 of those. And actually, one fun thing that came out of sending the 14 pictures is a obvious, like, super fan of the Brightside After Dark podcast told me, she goes, well, you realize Tyler Ennis is a Saber and not a basketball player. And so here's how off my radar the NHL is. When she said Saber, I was like, oh, Ennis is a type of sword? Because that's what I know about the NHL. And then I Googled it, and I was like, oh, he's a hockey player of some sort. And he's apparently, and because we're going to talk about Tyler, I know more about Tyler Ennis, the hockey player, than the basketball player at this point. Tyler Ennis, the hockey player, is a two-time winner of, like, the Sportsmanship Award in the Western Hockey League.
So you know, sucks. Breaking.
He sounds like a great guy. He probably sucks. That almost certainly means he kind of sucks.
That means he's Gibby's least favorite kind of player.
Exactly, because he's nice.
I agree.
he's not like riding his stick like a pony down the ice. And so Kimmerman has a big problem with him.
Just kissed my bicep.
I know you did. And so getting back to the drawings. So I promised that I'd get everybody. It was a picture of me and them being friends. And then Sreaker had the idea of putting Taylor Griffin in there. And so I put Taylor Griffin in there. When I started drawing them, it was just kind of me and the person and Taylor Griffin being friends. And then I got kind of meaner and made Taylor Griffin sort of like a comic foil for me. So, I mean, I know you guys probably don't know this reference because Streaker's 15 and Gibberman's just like not the least worldly human being on earth. But like on Saturday Night Live, there was a character called Mr. Bill, and he was basically like a Play-Doh thing that like bad stuff would happen to. So that's basically like what I was going for my inspiration for Taylor Griffin. So I just kind of put him in situations where like he was sitting on the bench at a park being sad, and he had like a sad face in all the pictures I drew. That was a lot of fun. I also drew one for a dude in Texas where Taylor Griffin was sleeping and he was dreaming about dunking over Blake Griffin to win the NBA championship. And then me and the guy were making fun of him. So that was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with that. So how about this time? Let's see. What would be a good idea? How about if you send me a DM on Twitter, I'll send you, how about like a homemade coupon for some sort of internet favor? Like you would give your like a child would give their mother on Mother's Day.
Hold on, can you start that over? I got distracted. I was reading what the Jazz traded how they got Steve Novak. So can you start over for me?
Does it matter if you got distracted?
I want to hear. I'm interested in what you're giving away.
Well, you're gonna have to listen to it later because I already said it.
No, say it again. Come on.
I just said it. Homemade coupons from Scott Howard. If you DM me your address, they'll have stickers on them and everything.
What can you get with the coupons?
I have no idea. I honestly haven't thought that far ahead yet. It sounds really weird.
It'll be good.
I promise. Like it's always good.
A free massage from Scott Howard? Are you giving away? And you're traveling. What are you giving away? I don't get it.
Exactly. It's going to be a mystery. It's basically a mystery prize. I got nothing, mystery, guys.
Internet favors, and that could be the broad spectrum.
Gross, this internet favors sound.
I'm so sketchy. I'm right after dark.
I was about to say, that's why we're Bright Side After Dark, yes.
Internet favors.
Bright Side After Dark, you can get internet favors.
If this was an NBC show, at this point, like, the hashtag internet favors would show up on the bottom.
Yes.
Can we make that the headline for the podcast, or is that a no go?
That's all I got. I'll go up with something. How about that?
No, it'll be good. Like always. Come on. If the people that got the crayon drawings from last week's podcast, they know Scott Howard doesn't mess around. Scott Howard don't mess around. I did notice that your story arc, and now, like every time you posted one of the pictures you drew, you crayoned, I noticed that Taylor Griffin would like be more and more pathetic in each one. I felt like I was watching this like a show where Taylor Griffin's character was just like being more and more left behind. It was beautiful, man.
That was so mean.
Hold on, we can't rule out the possibility that one of those is actually hanging inside the U.S. Airways Center.
It's true. I sent one to Sun's digital media manager, Greg Esposito, and I posted one on Twitter, where he had welcomed us on the promenade outside of U.S. Airways Center. So if you want to see that one, if you want to see a lot of these, they're on my Twitter feed, so you guys can check that out. Scott Howard 42, yada, yada, yada.
And you know, and listeners know they want drawings with Taylor Griffin. I mean, come on. Like, we're going to continue that Taylor Griffin thing until it's, like, dead and buried and revived. I'm going to make a logo.
You know what
I need to do that.
You know what I figured out the other day, and just because I'd like to pin things on Taylor Griffin. So Taylor Griffin, after he played in the NBA, do you know where he started playing basketball?
No, you're the only person who's going to know that.
Belgium. In 2010 to 2011, he played basketball in Belgium. So I'm not saying Taylor Griffin's a traitor that gave away all our soccer secrets to Belgium, permitting them to beat us, but Taylor Griffin's probably a traitor that gave all our soccer secrets to Belgium to allow them to beat us.
Are we sure he played in Belgium? Or did he just dress up in really fancy clothes? No one knows.
You know what? You're right. No one knows what you just said.
That's true. I don't know. That's one thing I do miss about Taylor Griffin, though, are his snappy, you know, fashion sense. He had... Okay. My one pun for the day. Taylor Griffin had a fantastic tailor.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I'm sorry. Let's stop.
Should we just wrap it right on that?
I think we're just gonna... Yeah.
Close the laptop.
Drops laptop instead of mic.
Alright, that should be it.
Alright, so are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay,
thanks
for
listening, guys.
That wraps up the future LeBron James edition of Bright Side After Dark. Internet favors.
Next week we'll have a past LeBron James, a current LeBron James edition of this.
Yeah, where we will yell the same things we did this time, except it'll be official. It'll be perfect. Alright, now we're really done.